Welcome back. In this lesson, we're rebuilding a percussion layer in Ableton Live 12 so it feels right at home in an old-school jungle or DNB track, but still works as a DJ-friendly arrangement tool. And that balance is the key here. We're not just making the drums busier. We're building a percussion system that supports the break, pushes the groove forward, and leaves enough room for the bass line to breathe. In drum and bass, tops and percussion do a lot of the emotional work. They create motion, tension, and phrase shape, even when the sub is holding things down. So the goal today is a percussion layer that feels rough, human, and intentional. Something that can sit under an amen edit, a rolling bass line, or a darker neuro-adjacent groove without stepping on the main drums. Let's start by thinking about the job this percussion layer needs to do. In an old-school DNB context, percussion usually has one of three roles. It can support the break with shuffled hats and tops, fill the gaps between kick and snare hits, or create energy in intros, breakdowns, and outros. That means before you place a single note, you want to know what role your layer is playing. If you're working from a chopped break, use an audio track and start slicing out useful top-end fragments. If you're programming from scratch, a drum rack is perfect. Either way, aim for a starting tempo around 170 to 175 BPM, and begin with a 4-bar loop so you can hear the groove quickly before expanding it out. Now, here's a classic jungle move. Build the bass layer from either a chopped break or a small collection of hats, shakers, rim shots, and ride hits. If you're using a break, focus on the fragments that already contain texture in the top end. That little bit of hi-hat bleed, snare ghost noise, or ride tail can make the loop feel alive right away. If you're using one-shots, place closed hats on the off beats, add some light 16th note movement, and sprinkle in a few accents that help the loop feel like it's turning over. A very useful pattern is to keep hats on the end of the beat, then add a few ghost hits just before or after the snare. You can also throw in one stronger accent at the start of bar 3 or bar 4 to help the phrase move. That kind of structure gives the listener forward motion without overcrowding the break. Next, we bring in groove pool. This is where the percussion stops sounding gridlocked and starts feeling like it belongs in the record. For jungle and old-school DNB, a light MPC-style swing or a groove extracted from an amen-style loop can work beautifully. Start with timing around 55 to 60%, velocity around 10 to 25%, and only a little random if any. If your break already swings hard, keep the percussion more rigid. If your break is straighter, let the percussion bring the bounce. This part matters a lot. Don't swing everything the same amount, or the whole track starts to feel lazy instead of deep. You want the groove to feel human, but still tight enough for the dancer floor. Now let's add a second percussion layer. This is where the call and response energy really starts to come alive. The second layer should complement the first, not copy it. Think brushed shaker, short tambourine, a filtered metallic tick, a rim shot, or a high-passed bongo or conga hit. If the first layer is busy and shuffled, make the second one more sparse and syncopated. If the first layer is sparse, let the second layer fill some space with quiet ghost notes. A good rule here is to keep the second layer very controlled. Shorten the decay so it stays tight. High pass it so it doesn't clutter the low mid area. And if you want width, pan subtle details a little left or right, but keep the important hit centered. In DNB, the low mid range needs to stay clean so the break and bass can speak clearly. Now we shape the tone. This is where stock Ableton tools do a lot of heavy lifting. A solid starting chain is EQ8, saturator, drum boss or glue compressor, and auto filter. Use EQ8 to high pass hats and shakers, usually somewhere around 180 to 350 Hz, and cut any harsh spots if needed. If the layer feels too clean, add a little saturator drive, maybe 1 to 4 dB, and use soft clip to add grit without making it harsh. If it needs cohesion, use drum boss or light glue compressor. We're not crushing it, just gluing it. Aim for a couple dB of gain reduction at most. Then use auto filter for movement. A gentle filter opening or closing can make a section breathe without needing extra samples. That's especially useful in DNB, because tiny changes can feel huge when the tempo is fast. Now let's turn the loop into a real arrangement idea. DJ-friendly structure is a big part of this lesson. Your percussion needs to work across intros, drops, switch-ups, and outros. So instead of leaving it as one static 4-bar loop, shape it into a longer phrase. Try this kind of structure. A sparse filtered intro, then a fuller version, when the track opens up, then a little extra ghost note activity or an open hat variation in the next phrase, and finally a denser drop section before stripping things back out again for the outro. Even small changes every 8 or 16 bars make a massive difference. You do not need huge fills every time. Sometimes removing one hit before a transition is enough to create tension and make the next section land harder. That's one of the most important concepts in this lesson. Lead the listener into the change. Don't just fill bars. Make the percussion feel like it knows where the track is going. Now let's talk micro variation, because this is where the loop starts sounding expensive. Instead of piling on more and more sounds, change the tiny details. Adjust velocities so repeated hits feel alive. Let ghost notes sit lower in the velocity range, maybe around 20 to 60. Nudge some notes slightly off the grid. Automate the filter cutoff over 8 or 16 bars. Add a little more saturator drive during a fill or build-up. These little moves create push and release without rewriting the whole pattern. If you're using a drum rack, velocity-based layering is a great trick too. A soft hit can trigger a brushed or quieter sample, while a harder hit brings in a brighter transient that gives the percussion a more natural dynamic shape, which is exactly the kind of thing that works well in old-school jungle. Once the loop feels strong, resample it. This is a very useful D&B workflow move. Route the percussion bus to a new audio track, record 4 to 8 bars, and then crop the best part. Resampling bakes in the groove, the saturation, the little interactions between hits, and the human feel. Often the audio version sounds more finished than the MIDI version, because those details are locked together. After that, bus all the percussion to a single percussion group. This lets you shape it as one instrument. Use glue compressor for a bit of cohesion, EQ8 for broad shaping, saturator if you want extra edge, and utility to check mono or control width. If the percussion starts fighting the snare, reduce the 2 to 5 kHz area a little. If it feels too narrow, widen only the top percussion, not the low-end elements. Then audition the whole thing with the bass line and the main drums. This is the real test. A percussion layer can sound amazing by itself and still fail in context if it masks the bass or makes the snare feel smaller. So check the loop at low volume too. If it still feels exciting quietly, that's a great sign. It probably has enough movement to survive in a full mix. And here's the simple rule that keeps this style working. If the bass line is busy, keep the percussion rhythmic but minimal. If the bass line is simpler, let the percussion do more of the movement work. The percussion's job is to support the groove, not compete with it. A few common mistakes to avoid. Don't stack too many hats and shakers just because the track needs energy. Usually one main top rhythm and one support layer is enough. Don't swing every element by the same amount. Don't leave harsh top end untouched if the layer gets brittle. And don't build something that only sounds good in solo. Always test it with kick, snare, and bass. If you want a darker, heavier D&B feel, keep the samples short, clipped, and slightly gritty. High-pass them aggressively so they stay out of the bass range. A little controlled clipping can actually help the percussion cut through the break. And if you want extra aggression, try a parallel trash layer. Duplicate the percussion, distort the copy harder, high-pass it, and blend it quietly under the clean version. For arrangement, think like a DJ tool. Build one version for the intro that's sparse and mix-friendly. Build a fuller version for the drop. Make an alternate version with a different final bar so the loop doesn't feel too repetitive. And always leave at least one version that is stable, loopable, and not too FX heavy, so it can mix cleanly under other tracks. To wrap up, the main ideas are simple. Build percussion as a supporting groove layer. Use groove pool carefully to add swing and human feel. Layer complementary rhythms instead of constant clutter. Shape the tone with Ableton's stock devices, and arrange it so DJs can actually use it. If the percussion makes the track feel like it's moving, even when the bass is holding back, you're doing it right. That's the vibe. That's the pressure. And that's how you make a jungle or old-school D&B percussion layer feel like part of a real record.